I think it's important for us to understand. How many of you know that life in Christ is just fabulous? It is. It is an amazing journey. It's an incredible lifestyle. I love it. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I'm telling you, it's been exciting. I've had some challenges, but thank God He is more than enough to put you over. His grace is simply amazing. But I want to show you something here in Numbers chapter 20, and take this and help you relate it to your life, wherever you are, however you are far along, or however far along you are in your journey with Jesus, you can identify with this. Now, notice Numbers chapter 20, I'll read from verse 1, just follow along with me. It says, "And then the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with Moses, and spoke, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into all this evil place? It's no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, and you gather the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So you shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Yeah, grab a battery. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And he said to them, Go ahead, Alonzo. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. This is the water of Meribah. Now, the word Meribah in Hebrew means strife. Because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now, this is, in my opinion, a very, very sad story. Because here Moses, in endeavoring to do what God had told him to do, ends up doing something in such a way that it cost him the promised land. Now, keep in mind, I say this all the time, the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life. We can see types and shadows and allegories of the way the believer is supposed to live. But we don't wear the pattern, we wear the fabric. The fabric is found in the New Testament. Letters written to the church, believers, the epistles. But here's a situation where Moses and Aaron, endeavoring to do the will of God, didn't do it properly, and it costs them. Now, the promised land, listen to me now, is not a type of heaven. It can't be a type of heaven. Because in the promised land, there were battles to fight and enemies to conquer. There are no battles to fight in heaven. There are no enemies to conquer in heaven. The promised land is a type of our rights and privileges in Christ. And in order for us to walk in what Jesus has purchased for us, there are times we have to do battle. We have to fight the good fight of faith. As I shared with the people that I ministered to this morning, you know, if the devil should tell you you're not healed, you're going to have to resist that. Amen. Just like if somebody told you that's not your name. And so that's where you're fighting the good fight of faith. Are you with me? But here, Moses and Aaron missed out on the promise because instead of speaking to the rock, which is what God told Moses to do, Moses slapped that rock twice with that rod. Now, listen. He had done it before in Exodus 17:6. In Horeb, God told him to smite the rock. But here, He told him to speak to the rock. Now, it might seem like a simple little thing, but it was big in the eyes of God. Now, last week, I did the message, Things to Avoid on Your Journey of Faith, and I talked about some stuff that's really critical for us as believers. Are you with me? I talked about the sex thing. And oftentimes people have the mistaken idea, not so much with believers, but unbelievers think, well, you know, the Bible was written so long ago, it's not relevant. Are you kidding me? It's as relevant as the day it was written today. And I'll show you how important the issue is. It's a big deal with God. In fact, it's such a big deal that in Acts chapter 15, the church had its first, if you want to call it, council, convocation, gathering, whatever label you want to put on it. Because there were Jewish believers who were teaching Gentile believers, it's nice that you received Jesus. You've been saved, born again, filled with the Spirit. That's all good. But if you want to maintain your salvation, you're going to have to keep the law of Moses just like us. And so this issue was dividing the church. So they came together in Acts chapter 15. They had a council, and obviously they prayed about it. They got the mind of the Lord. They heard from the Holy Ghost. And so they wrote a letter and sent it to all the Gentile churches, and in essence said this: we know that there have been brethren who've been coming and teaching you that you had to keep the law in order to maintain your salvation. But being gathered together, listen to what they said. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to write to you to do these necessary things. In other words, you don't have to keep the law of Moses to maintain your salvation. But here are some things that are necessary. Everybody say necessary. Necessary. What were those necessary things? Don't drink blood. Don't eat meat that's been strangled. And don't eat meat that's been offered to idols. We don't have much of that in our culture. Are you with me? But we sure got the fourth one. Abstain from fornication. And he said, and if you do these things, you shall do well, fare ye well. And so that was the one thing that the Holy Ghost and the leaders of the early church thought was necessary. And so that's a big deal. But that was my message last week, not this week. Y'all can relax. Okay? But there are times we deal with issues that seemingly fly under the radar. They're little things that are not easily seen and identified, but I'm going to help you identify some of those things this morning. And it happened to Moses and Aaron. You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament in the Song of Solomon that we're going to look at here in a moment that really reveals a lot. In essence, what that passage says is, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now, what that simply is a reference to is the fact that many times there are little things that go unseen that can cause us big problems. And in a vineyard, you see all the rows of grapes and you see all the fruit and you see all the plants, but you don't see those little foxes that attack the roots and cause the fruit not to bear the way it should. And so many times there are little things in life that can cause us big problems. Now, I've been in ministry for a long, long time, over 30 years. And in 30 years, you see a lot, you learn a lot, you do a lot. The ladies were at Joyce Meyer's meeting in Detroit. Joyce is a sweetheart. And Alonzo asked me a little while ago, he said, have you ever been to one of Joyce's meetings? I said, yeah, we had her in our church in St. Louis. Back in 1985, nobody knew who Joyce Meyer was outside of St. Louis. And she came to our church and she brought a big entourage. Her husband and one guy. And of course she had all her books and tapes in a little cardboard box. Two tape series and I think one book. But she was as gracious and as humble and as committed to Jesus back then as she is now. But she was faithful back then. That's why she's doing what she's doing now. Are you with me? But nobody knew who she was. Just as sweet and kind as she's always been. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to show you something about what happened to Moses and Aaron. And this is not a continuation of my lesson last week, but it can be a companion message, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're making great time. And we're just going to highlight some things for you. And if you take these things and put them into practice, I'm telling you, your life will be so much better. And your journey will be a lot more fun. And you'll avoid the situation where you don't get to take advantage of what belongs to you in Christ Jesus because of a little fox that's eating away at your vine. Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you have it, say, I have it. Okay, let's look at verse 48. Deuteronomy 32, 48. Notice what it says. And the Lord spoke unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get up into this mountain, Abiram, unto the mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that's over against Jericho. And behold, or look at, the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel for a possession. And you will die in that mountain where you go up, and be gathered unto your people. As Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. Now, here's why. Verse 51. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but you will not go into it, which I've given to the children of Israel. Now, this seems like a harsh punishment, if you will, for a man who did so much to deliver God's people. But God is revealing principles to us that we can learn from. There are little foxes that can prevent you from entering into your full inheritance in Christ. It may not be the big mamu. You ever hear me say that before? A lot of times when I do marriage counseling with couples, even people in dire straits, many times, you know, there's this big, huge crisis and, you know, emergency lights are flashing everywhere. But normally it didn't start with that big thing. It was a bunch of little things that went unattended to. An accumulation of things, if you will, that led to the crisis. Now, watch this. Here's what happened to Moses. Verse 51. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. Notice what it says. Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people Israel. You didn't treat me as holy. Here's the same verse out of the Good News Translation. Because both of you were unfaithful to me in the presence of the people of Israel. When you were at the waters of Meribah near the town of Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, you dishonored me in the presence of my people. Here's that same verse out of the Contemporary English Version. Both of you were unfaithful to me at Meribah Spring near Kadesh in the Zin Desert. I am God, but there in front of the Israelites, you did not treat me with the honor and respect that I deserve. A little fox that can spoil your vine. Dishonor. That's something that's missing from our modern day culture. Honor. Many times we have this mistaken idea we got the right to criticize anybody about anything. Well, I got news for you. That can rob you of your inheritance. Dishonor. Thank God for Moses and what he accomplished. He is revered in Israel to this day. But there are some lessons we can learn from His life. Now turn with me in the New Testament to Acts chapter 7. Let's identify and look at some of these little foxes that can spoil the vine. Acts chapter 7. So the title to my message this morning is Little Foxes and Sacred Cows. Little Foxes and Sacred Cows. Acts chapter 7. Now, here is the sermon, the only sermon that we're aware of that Stephen preached. Stephen was in the ministry of helps at the church at Jerusalem. His ministry was feeding widows. But the Bible says that mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. So if you're in Christ, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God wants to use you to minister to others. But here's part of his first sermon. Notice what he said, beginning with verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again to Egypt. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced, notice this, in the work of their own hands. Rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Now, obviously, this is a reference to the time when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments. And I love how patient most people are. Moses has gone 40 days. And they don't forget about the brother. We don't know what happened to him. We want to go back to Egypt. A type of the old sinful lifestyle. Make us gods. Now, why in the world would people who worship Jehovah want gods made out of gold? You know why? It's very simple. You got to understand, there were people just like us. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. They'd been so influenced by the culture. In Egypt, they worshipped a multiplicity of gods. And so that's what they were used to. And so that's why it's important as a new believer that when you come out of your Egypt, your lifestyle of sin, there's some companies you got to part company with because you're influenced by the culture. I like what Rob... Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. That was last week. But here's something I want you to see. They rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Just before Proverbs, you'll find Psalms. And there are a bunch of Psalms. So go to the 127th one. Psalm 127. We're just going to identify a few little foxes this morning. Excuse me. Psalm 127, it's a very short psalm, only five verses. Psalm 127. If you got it, say, I got it. Notice verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walk or waketh, but in vain. In other words, we need to understand, hear, and discern the voice of the Lord, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and do what He's asked us to do. Notice it says in that first portion of verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Notice it got built, but it was all for nothing because God was not in it. Many times, if we're not careful, we get caught up in our own labor, our own work, and it's not something that the Lord asked us to do. And so we rejoice in what we've done, but God wasn't in it, and it was all for nothing. Now, going back to what Moses and Aaron did, This is something you have to guard yourself against. Many times the Lord will tell you to do something. Listen closely and follow His direction. Don't do it the way you've always done it. Don't do it the way somebody else did it, necessarily. Because many times God will want you to do something a little bit different because He has a purpose in mind. Moses went out there and he smote the rock before. He figured if it worked before, it'll work again. Now listen, there are certain principles in God's Word that always work. Faith in the Word always works. But there are times when the Lord is leading you, navigating you through this journey of life, and He'll tell you to do something. Well, follow His direction and do it that way. Maybe He wants you to do it a little bit differently next time. Are you with me? I'm not talking about leaving the Word and violating principles that you find in the Bible. The Bible says love your enemies. Well, you always love your enemies, regardless. He's not going to tell you love your enemies today and slap them upside the head tomorrow. Even though you may feel like doing it. Don't live by your feelings, please. You'll get in trouble. Feelings will get you in trouble.
Amen.
They will get you in trouble. So we have to be able to discern, hear, understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Follow His direction. Do what He asks you to do. Don't dishonor Him. Understand that He is God and give Him the honor and respect that He deserves. So if the Lord tells you to do something, just follow through. He'll give you direction. Are you with me? Now, and there again, I always like to do things in such a practical way so that you have a vivid example. Long before I showed up here today, I saw myself laying hands on people and I heard the Lord say, people with pain or trouble on the left side. Now, I could have come out this morning and said, well, if you're being bothered on your right side, I won't lay hands on you. Well, that would be dishonoring what the Lord told me to do. He knew y'all were sitting out there and He knew what you were dealing with. And so if I'm going to minister to you, listen to this one word, effectively, I need to do it the way He showed me to do it. Got that?
Amen.
And you see what happened. Amen? And thank God for His healing power, because all of y'all are healed.
Amen.
So just because you did it one way one time doesn't mean you're always supposed to do it that way. Always walk in the light of the Word. But when it comes to specific things, always listen for the voice of the Spirit. Because He may not tell you to do something exactly the same way every time. Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs, all right? Proverbs, you're in Psalms, go to the right, and you'll run into Proverbs. Let's look at another little fox that we need to be aware of and watch out for. Proverbs. We'll start with chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. You know, many times in life I've had occasion to deal with people who, for one reason or another, were so caught up with what they were doing in their efforts or so caught up in their stuff that it was really heart-wrenching. I remember one time, years ago, I was a commercial lines underwriter for a big insurance company, and a storm came through western Pennsylvania, and there were a lot of boats damaged on the Allegheny River. And I remember sitting in the office with all of us underwriters, and an insurance agent came in, and one of his boats was severely damaged. And I watched that man. Now listen to me. He's an insurance agent. His boat's covered. Everybody say covered.
Covered.
He sells insurance. He had insurance on his boat. That man sat across from me and cried like a baby because his boat got dinged up in the storm. And I thought, good Lord. The day I cry over a boat or a car or a house, Lord have mercy. There are things that are much more important than your boat, your car, your house. Now, understand, you need to take care of your stuff. But when you become so attached to it, that when it gets a scratch, you cry. I'm going to have another prayer line for you in a little bit. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10. Notice verse 19. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. Here's a little tidbit for you. You want to keep sin out of your life? Don't be so verbose. You know what verbose means? You talk too much. You talk too much. You ever been around somebody that all they do is yak, 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 and always yakking about somebody else? I'm always cautious of people like that. They always talking about someone, dragging them through the gutter. Well, I got sense enough to know that when they leave me, guess who else is going through the gutter? So I try not to hang around with people who gossip. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what I've learned as an adult? You know, I just had my 56th birthday. I think I'm an adult now. You can't always say everything you're thinking. Did you know that? Just because the thought flashed across your brain does not mean it needs to emanate from your lips. You need to discipline yourself, and sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Turn to Proverbs 13. We're just going to hit a few of these. Proverbs 13. Notice verse 3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I don't know about you, but I don't like destruction. See, if you're that kind of person that has an undisciplined control over your mouth, you're going to live your life in destruction. Notice Proverbs chapter 18. Flip over a few pages. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Notice verses 6 and 7. Notice what it says. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare to his soul. A fool's mouth or his lips enter into contention. You know, a lot of times we say things and drag ourselves into situations we got no business being in. Are you with me? There's another passage in Proverbs that says, he that gets involved or meddles with business that doesn't belong to him is like a man who grabs a dog by the ears. You know what happens when you grab a dog by the ears? You're going to get bit. Now, I have a beautiful dog, Bella, the Weimaraner. She's so cute. She's so kind. Now, I'm not about to prove this out. I don't grab her by the ears. She likes it when I rub her under the neck. But I got enough sense to know, don't put the dog in distress. She doesn't like that. She's going to defend herself. So in the same manner, when you say things that you shouldn't, you put people on the defensive and they're going to come after you. And you stirred up a hornet's nest that did not need to be stirred. Say this with me. I'm learning to control my words. Remember this. You can't always say what you're thinking. And just because you thunk it doesn't mean you should say it. Y'all learning anything this morning? Look at the 21st verse, Proverbs chapter 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, this is the Old Testament version of Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. Not what God wills, but what you say. And so you need to discipline your words. There's some things you should just not be saying. Oh, Pastor Young, that's just me. Yeah, you need to change. I've had people say that to me. They'd open their mouth and stir up trouble at every turn. And here I am trying to put out fires. If they would just keep their big mouth shut, I wouldn't have all this work to do. And so I told them about it. You shouldn't have said that. Oh, that's just me. Well, you need to change. You can't do stuff. Open up your mouth, you're hurting people. You're cutting people down in front of... Don't do that. Well, that's just me. You need to change. Amen? You know, the Bible says the tongue is a fire. Oh, man, you can burn down some wood with your tongue. You can cause some real damage with your words. Learn to control your tongue. Control your words. See, that's something that flies under the radar unless you're in close proximity to these people. And I've learned in life when somebody's undisciplined with their words consistently, I don't hang around them much. I don't. Now, I'm always available to help people. You know that. But somebody who's got an undisciplined mouth, I don't have time for that. Because I know there's trouble coming. Are you with me? Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles now. And here's a good one. You're in Proverbs. Turn to the right to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5. Now, let me show you where to find it. Proverbs, go to the right, and you're going to run into Ecclesiastes. It's the next book. I bet you that's not a book your Bible just falls open to. Ecclesiastes. Everybody got it? Notice chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Notice this. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God's in heaven and you're on the earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. You can always identify a foolish person. You know how you can? It's not by the way they dress or how they carry themselves. Just listen to them. They will identify themselves readily. I am a fool. How do you know? Listen to me. Well, part of the issue is many times people are not disciplined with their words, even when it comes to godly things. And as a pastor, I've been there. And here's the guy I always watch out for. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me. And when they start opening their mouth, I start to wince. Oh, no, no, no. Don't go there, brother. Don't say it. Please don't say it. But you always get the brother, oh, pastor. Pastor, you can count on me, Pastor. I'm the one. I'm going to be there forever for you. You can always count on me. Oh, please don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Now, that is the right attitude. That's the right heart to have. But you know what's more important? Show me your heart by what you do. Amen. Not by what you say. Amen. Talk is cheap. That's in essence what this verse is saying. Talk is cheap. And when you say stuff like that before God, He holds you accountable. So don't say it, do it. Hey, husbands, how many married men we got in here? Come on, raise your hands. Let me see. Wave it at me. I want to make sure you're awake. You know what your wife desires from you? Not only security and your love and your comfort and all that stuff. Have you ever been in a situation where you told your wife you're going to do better, you're going to change? Come on, wave at me. Don't get quiet on me now. This is family time. We all know each other. Well, you know what your wife wants out of you more than anything else? Show me. Amen. Don't talk a good game. Just do it, brother. Do it. You with me? Amen. Not by your words, but by your actions, man. That's what makes a difference. Okay, let's move forward. Let's look at one other issue. Turn to Luke chapter 16. We'll wind up with this one. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16, talking about little foxes and sacred cows. Good. Luke chapter 16. Now this is an issue that is clearly stated all throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament. We see patterns, types, shadows, and we have living examples of this principle. But many times, people in the body of Christ, because it's not a headliner, you know, it sort of flies under the radar, it's not evidently seen by those outside, but it's readily seen by those inside the church. In other words, this is one of my first things that I observe about people. Notice this, Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that's faithful in that also which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Everybody say this, faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
It's a small thing, but it's big in the eyes of God. Jesus said, he that's faithful in a little thing will be faithful in a big thing. But he that is unfaithful in that which is little will be unfaithful in that which is large or great. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? Classic definition, it means to be steadfast, to be sure, to be steady, to be consistent. Faithfulness is a principle that all of us need to develop and mature in our lives. In other words, can you be counted on? Now, in addressing this area of faithfulness, listen to this now. You can write this down. There are three areas that you have to manage well in life in order to succeed. Three areas. People, time, and money. People, time, and money. Now, when I say people, I'm talking about relationships. If you're going to be successful, you have to manage your relationships well. You can't be like a bull in a china closet, offending everybody at every turn, and expect to have good, fruitful relationships. You need to grow up. You with me? You need to nurture and develop your relationship with your family members, with your spouse, with those people that you work with, and those people that you worship with. But most importantly, your relationship with God. Time. How well do you manage your time? Are you faithful with your time? I mentioned after praise and worship this morning that one of the reasons the city had not had a gospel group perform or sing at Celebrate Erie was they couldn't manage their time. They couldn't get there on time. That's a basic thing. A basic thing. Now, if you want to be fruitful and experience all that Jesus has for you, learn to be on time.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, I'll use myself as an example. If I talk about you, you might get mad at me, so I'll talk about me, okay? I remember years ago when I moved to Tulsa, my son DJ was young. He was like 6 months old. And we had left everything basically and driven to Oklahoma and started all over again. And so I enrolled in Bible college. I found myself a job, got an apartment. I'm doing everything I can to take care of my family because that's priority number one. I'm obeying what God told me to do, but my family's my priority. In fact, family is so much a priority that I delayed going to Bible college 1 year because my wife was about to have my son, and she said, you go ahead, I'll stay with Mama. No. That's my baby. You ain't staying with your mama. I'm sorry. Y'all do what you want to do, but I know better than that. A man takes care of his children. You ain't staying with your mama. I put Bible college off for another year. Are you with me? Family number one. So, we're there, found a good church to worship at, but we had this problem, Alonzo. I'm talking about me now. Everybody say, Pastor Bill.
Pastor Bill.
He's talking about himself. All right, talking about me. I had a problem getting to service on time. And so it happened for about 3-4 weeks, you know. Praise and worship's going on. Here we come rolling in 15, 20 minutes late. Service started 10 o'clock. We're faithful 10, 20 people. Talking about me now. Everybody say, Pastor Bill. He's talking about himself. And so one day, we were heading to church. I know service had already started. And it bothered me. And I'm on my way to service, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you did this on your job, you'd have been fired a long time ago. Amen. That was the last time I was late for service. Amen. Faithfulness. If you can't be counted on, oh Lord have mercy, should I say this? To be there on time. What makes you think that God's going to drop this big, humongous, gigantic blessing on your life? You can't even manage your time. I'm talking about myself now. So most Sundays, I'm the first one here. And I'm probably as busy, if not busier, than everyone out here. Are you with me? Now, I'm not always the first one here. Many times there's somebody here before me. Thank God for faithful people. We always start at 10:30, not 10:40. All right? We don't wait till the saints come rolling. No, no. We start whether you're here or not. But if you want to enjoy the blessing of God to its fullest, you'll learn to manage your time. It's just a matter of priorities. And just like the Lord said to me now, not you, me. If this was your job, you'd have been fired a long time ago. I got the message. Faithfulness. It seems like a little thing, but you know what? Little things are important to God. And see, if you're unfaithful with that little thing, God knows you'll be unfaithful with a big thing. Amen. And so He will at times withhold that big thing because He knows you're going to mess it up. Are you with me? But if you're faithful with that little thing, you can be, now this is my expression, okay? And this is not a caricature of anybody in this assembly today. But if you're faithful with that little thing, you can be as dumb as a rock. And God will pour His grace on you because you're faithful. You can be as dumb as a rock. I sat at a table the other day in my regional conference and sat next to a man who had blessed me with a pen. I got it in my bag in the office. He sent me a pen with our name and address on it. Just to be a blessing. And I sat with this guy, and I love this guy with all my heart. He had a hard time putting a sentence together. But this man had planted 39 churches around the world. But you know what? He's faithful. He's not the smartest guy in the world. He's not the most gifted guy in the world. But God can trust him because he's faithful. And when he told me what he had done, he's a retired missionary now. I thought, good Lord, he is the epitome of faithfulness. Amen. Not the most gifted, not the most talented, but he loves God and he's there. Right. He can be counted on. He's sure. He's steady. There was another man at the conference who was in my class, Christopher Alam. And Christopher is a former Pakistani military colonel who got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were so happy they sent him to prison for a year. Because he was a former Muslim. And he escaped and ended up in Russia and all of these places. It's a tremendous testimony he has. But he's out preaching the gospel in Africa and Asia and South America. And his team, every year, wins between 1 million to 1,200,000 people to Jesus every year. And Jesus is still doing the same thing that he did when he walked the earth in this guy's meetings. He showed us videos. One was just awesome. Video after video after video. A baby that came to one of his meetings was born paralyzed from the neck down. 2 years old, walked for the first time. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Christopher learned how to be faithful in little things. And now God can trust him with something big. Are you with me? People, time, and money. Are you faithful with your relationships with your people? Are you doing what the Bible says, walk in love? Are you faithful with your time? Are you faithful with your money? I've been a tither since I found out about it, 1979. I honor him with the tenth of all my income. I'm talking about me now, not you. Because I know some of y'all don't tithe. I know it. Amen? Now God loves you. I'm just trying to teach you how to experience everything that belongs to you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And so God can trust me with my money. That's why He trusts me with more. But if He can't trust you with your money, He won't trust you with more.
Amen.
If you can't say amen, say oh me. All right, let's look at one last passage. We'll wrap this up. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Talking about faithfulness. You know, one of the qualities of Daniel that you find in Daniel 6:4, just write it down. When they launched an investigation into his life, the Bible says that they could find no occasion or fault in him. That means no scandal. No hint of scandal. Why? Because he was faithful. Daniel was faithful. He was consistent. He was sure. He was steady. We need to develop patterns in our life that don't change. Consistently do the same thing, the same way, every time. Unless the Lord tells you something different. Daniel was faithful. Proverbs 28:20, this last verse says this: a faithful man shall abound with blessing. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. Notice it doesn't say a smart man. It doesn't say a gifted man. It doesn't say a talented man. It doesn't say a man born with a silver spoon in his mouth. It doesn't say the man with the greatest athletic ability. No, faithfulness. Faithfulness is the key to blessing. This is just one of those little foxes that can spoil your vine if you don't realize how important it is to God. So we need to live our lives in such a way that not only can God count on us, but people can count on us. Our spouse can count on us. Our children can count on us. Our co-workers can count on us. See, remember, we represent Jesus Christ. Now, you thought you only represented your family. Well, for many people, maybe that's all they know about you. But if you let them know that you believe in Jesus and you're a follower of Christ, a disciple, then you represent the kingdom of God. And so the bar is set a little bit higher for you. Amen?
Amen.
So if you go to MGCC and you're not faithful, you know, you always drag into work 30 minutes late, please don't tell them you come here. Don't tell them you're a member of this church. Just keep us in the closet. But if you're a faithful person, if you're diligent, and you're doing what the Bible says, man, talk us up. Talk us up. Well, you know what's more important than representing your church? Representing Jesus. Because for many people, you're the only Jesus they will ever talk to. You're the only Jesus they will ever touch. You're the only Jesus they will ever hear. So when you learn how to take care of those little foxes, you'll be just fine. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
All right. Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss. We're going to have communion here in a moment.